Location, the lab. Quentin only has 24 hours to sell his car. Is that even possible? He goes to Carvana.com.
What is this, a movie trailer?
He ignores the doubters, enters his license plate. Wow, that's a great offer. The car is sold, but will Carvana pick it up in time for...
They'll literally pick it up tomorrow morning. Done with the dramatics?
Car selling in record time.
Save your time. Go to Carvana.com and sell your car today. Pickup fees may apply.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to Heather Shaw Is Kidding. Happy New Year. We made it to 2025. Wow, what a year 2024 was. I hope you are either violently hungover or just violently happy. No in between. I either want you puking in the toilet or running a mile while you're listening to this. I'm a sober bitch, so, you know, my whole thinking has changed on New Year's Eve. I used to love and go out and get fucking smashed, hammered. That would take 2 beers for me to get real fucking lit. Just start texting everybody in my phone. Are you up? It's 7 p.m., Heather. Yes, I'm up. What do you need, you drunk? I used to subscribe to the go out on New Year's Eve, go get fucked up, go ring in the New Year fucked up. And now I'm a changed woman. I'm going on almost 3 years of sobriety, and there's nothing like waking up on New Year's Day without a hangover, feeling good, doing things that make you feel good. I think it's a good way to start the year. Call me gay, call me a square, but which one of us right now has a pounding headache? All right, I'm not judging. I'm just saying. Okay, I can keep water down. Okay, I'm not hungover. But yeah, I think it is good to start the year off. It's a good sign to me to start the year off strong. It's a good, because every time I've woken up on New Year's Day hungover as shit, the rest of the year wasn't great. You know, wasn't the best. Had a rough January, just getting out of that hole, being hung. I mean, I was always hungover. Let's not lie. It didn't matter if it was New Year's Day, Christmas Day, 4th of July, 3rd of July, 2nd of July. I was always hungover. I was always drinking. I was always hungover. So it's really nice now to start New Year's fresh. And I know I don't look fresh, but I feel fresh. And that's all that matters. I know I look like I've been hungover since I was born. But that's just because I have white skin. Sorry. I just discovered moisturizing. Sorry. People tell me to drink a lot of water, and I do. But then I'm just peeing all day, which is fine. But I don't know. Also, I pee a lot during the night. I drink a lot of water. I do, but it's you know, it's a bit brutal. I'm peeing left and right. I mean, I'm surprised I'm not wetting the bed, you know. I have a Stanley cup here. Don't judge me. Remember when I said I was white? Yeah, but I hope you have a great year either way. I hope you start off your year however you want to start it off. I mean, rotting on New Year's Day is also fun. Let's not fuck around here. Just because you wake up without a hangover doesn't mean you can't rot, you know. I think a good rot is good. It's always nice to just relax your way into the new year. Farting and queefing and watching bad movies. I think I'm just going off of however you spend the first day of your year is how the year is going to look for you. Now, that could be very wrong, but that's how I'm going to play it. So I've got to make today a great day. You know, get habits formed, form some habits. I'm starting to try to do that, trying to meditate every morning. It doesn't have to be long. You don't have to be doing anything special when you're meditating. My mantra is don't shit your pants. That's my meditation mantra. Just don't shit your pants. Breathe in. Don't shit your pants. Breathe in. Be less of a faggot. You know, I'm trying to bring in some new habits for the new year. So meditating is one of them. Going to the gym every day in the morning is one of them. I was very on and off with the gym. I'm just starting to go every day. I'm not doing anything hardcore in the gym. I'm not up there, you know, fucking, I don't even know what a hardcore thing in the gym is. I'm not running. I can't run. I'll waste my body. I physically can't run. I can run, but I can't run because I'll drop pounds and I'll start looking like, who's that fucked up anorexic girl on TikTok? That Eugenia Cooney. If you don't know about Eugenia Cooney, first of all, her name is really awful. She supports Trump, so I don't feel bad making fun of her. But she is horrifically anorexic. Her name's Eugenia Cooney. It's a hard life to live. I hope she gets better. I don't think she will. And I mean both with anorexia and supporting Trump as a woman. But I don't even know. I would start looking like her if I started running. So I can't run. So I just do some weights, you know, and I just get my body moving because I don't want to be a 60-year-old who like can barely stand up. I want to be a flexible 60-year-old. I want to be fucking Jane Fonda. You know what I mean? Jane Fonda's the apex, the epitome of what you should be aspiring to be as an elder. I want to be fucking Jane Faggot. So get in the gym. Maybe if you enjoy running. Running is hard on your knees too. I think treadmills are better if you run outside. You know, as a woman, if you run outside, it's really bad on your knees and it's really bad on your life. You could lose your life out there. Men, I'll tell you something, men love to attack a running woman. They see that and that is their prey. They turn into fucking lions. But it is also hard on your knees. So if you want to run, do that on the treadmill. These are just stream of consciousness thoughts to get you going for the new year. What else can you do? Maybe intake, up your water intake. Cut out some bad habit you do. You can keep some. You can't live a boring, what are you, an Amish person? You got to have some vices. I stand by that. I had vices almost all my life. Now I'm just kind of vice free. I might pick up something. I don't know. Maybe a light heroin? No, you can't do that lightly. I don't know. I can't do any drugs. I'll think of something. I think my vice right now is coffee. And that's probably it. God, am I boring? Do I need a drug addiction? What's gonna make me cool again? Maybe I should get a tongue piercing. Maybe I should split my tongue like a snake. And just say, come here, bad boy. I got to think of it. Upcoming shows. I will be in Tampa next Wednesday, next week. Tampa at Side Splitters. I'll be in Orlando at Funny Bone, at the Funny Bone there on a Sunday on the 12th of January. I'm also in January. I'm in Spokane, Seattle, Springfield, Massachusetts. We just added two shows there. So let's get those tickets sold because this is a late edition. For a January show, we've got about a month to promote this. So Springfield, Massachusetts, come on out to those. Syracuse, New York, I love you so much. I'll be in your city. Rochester, New York, my hometown. I'm going to get a garbage plate. I'm not going to eat it, but I'm going to get it and bring it to the show and pie somebody with it. Rochester, New York, Chattanooga, Tennessee, Provo, Utah. I'm doing two mini special tapings there for Dry Bar Comedy. If you're in Provo, come out to those and be in the audience. And heckle me, please. Make the special fun. Janesville, Wisconsin. Dayton, Kentucky, which a lot of people have been correcting me and saying, Heather, don't you mean Dayton, Ohio? I don't. It's Dayton, Kentucky. It's right near Cincinnati. If you're in Cincinnati, you can come to the Dayton show. I think it's like 20 minutes away. You'll be fine. Fort Worth, Texas. Houston, Texas. Dallas, Texas. Tyler, Texas. A lot of Texas. I'm going there because I need an abortion. Phoenix, Arizona. I'll be doing a weekend there. Los Angeles. I can't wait for the Los Angeles show. It's out in NoHo, North Hollywood, El Portal Theater. It's going to be a fun show. Westchester, Pennsylvania. I'm going back to Pennsylvania in May. Can't wait for that. And then Royal Oak, Michigan. I'm also working on adding a Louisville, Kentucky show because I live here now. Why not? And going back to Long Island. I love Long Island so much. I know there are cities I've got to hit up. I keep hearing Chicago, Denver, Detroit has been up my ass. You know, every time I go on TikTok Live, RIP TikTok, people always, the live is just people yelling at me about cities I'm not going to. It's very uplifting. I feel very good about the future of our society. So that's it for live shows. Go to HeatherShawComedy.com for all the tickets and whatever else you want to do. Join the Patreon. We've got some great extra episodes being posted over there. A lot of episodes with my pseudo cousin Patrick. He is extremely entertaining. He is extremely intelligent. There's nothing better than sitting down with somebody who has so much life experience and is so intelligent and also so funny. So pseudo cousin Patrick, shout out to you. Lots of episodes with him on there, as well as some solo episodes with me going over some personal things. Maybe I cry on some episodes. You'll never know unless you get on the Patreon. Patreon.com/HeatherShawComedy. Don't forget to rate and review this podcast. Let's get into the episode. I'm not going to do a 2024 recap. Number one, we're already in 2025. Bye, bitch. 2024 was so yesterday. Like, we don't care. We've seen all the recaps. Also, that's what this entire podcast is. It's just topical things that happen. So really, this whole entire podcast is a time capsule. That is the cool thing about this podcast, is that you can go back, you know, and listen to what was going on in 2024. Remember when P. Diddy was alive? Remember that? Let's go back and listen to these episodes. There's so many things, which is kind of cool about this podcast, which I really like. Let's go over some things that happened in 2024. One of my favorites from the last year, but we're not going to go crazy on it. Obviously, the diddler going down. Love that. That was such a fun surprise. You know, this podcast, I think, I'm not doing a whole anniversary thing. I think this podcast is about a year old now. So happy birthday, bitch. It started with the diddler being raided. I think one of the first few episodes was Diddler's house getting raided. Remember, he left his kids to deal with it, as any good, outstanding father would do. And then, like, it was a lull. We didn't really hear anything, I think. And then when he got arrested in, like, June, right? When did he turn himself in? I don't know. Go look back on these episodes and you tell me. What a fun little surprise. From when this podcast started, he was getting raided. And now here we are. He's hanging on by a thread. I mean, they're building up. They keep putting out stories about how he had a melt. Now the new story is he had a meltdown during Christmas because he had to spend it alone. As if he didn't prepare for that. Like, did he think he was going to get out on Christmas to go open some gifts and touch some Bieber butthole? I don't know what, you know, but they're really putting out these, oh, he's losing his mind, he's having a meltdown, he has depression, he's on psychiatric watch, every suicide watch, every day they have to come by and make sure he's not, you know, cut himself with a shoelace or what the fuck ever. So that's interesting. We'll see at the end of next year where the fuck Diddler will be. I'm guessing cremated. Gypsy Rose, we love her so much. I have been talking about her nonstop this year. Will I be continuing to talk about Gypsy Rose? You know, I've been meeting people at the shows. These Lexington shows this past weekend were amazing. I met a lot of people that listened to the podcast, and they love the Gypsy Rose. But I gotta tell you, when I go do live shows, you motherfuckers don't give a fuck about Gypsy Rose. So it's very hard to gauge. The people online like the Gypsy Rose. We'll see if she keeps doing things that warrant us talking about her. I'm sure she will. She's going to have a baby soon. We got to talk about that. What's she going to name it? I'm going to name you Romani. Gypsy and Romani. Romani is the non-slur way to call somebody a gypsy. I think gypsy is now a slur. What if she just names her kid another slur? You know, something I can't say on the... What if she just names her kid Cracker? And now, presenting to the world... White Trash! I love you, White Trash! This is Cracker. We call him Crack for short. Okay. What else happened? Justin Timberlake got a DUI and then showed his little peanut on stage. That's always fun. RIP to Justin Timberlake. Stop trying to be relevant, sir. You're in your 40s. We all know you got a tiny dick. Britney Spears wrote about it in her book. She said, I'm ready for it. And then Justin said it. What is it? Britney, in her book, she said,
and we were having sex. And then I said, okay, I'm ready for you to stick it in. And then Justin said, it is in.
Okay, so that's fun. We now know that Justin Timberlake has a tiny dick. Verified, confirmed by Britney Spears, who may or may not have been completely out of her mind. The election cycle was fun for just 2 seconds or three, maybe. Biden, Trump, Kamala. Now we got to gear up for a Trump presidency. Aliens are coming. Jobs are dwindling. I've seen on TikTok now everybody's saying that there's a new... TikTok is like... they're not fear mongers. They're in hysterics all the time with every fucking thing. So now the new thing is bird flu. And I'm not trying to sound like an asshole that was in December 2019 being like, what? COVID? That's nothing. But now everyone on TikTok is saying like, bird flu is the new COVID. And it all lines up. The last time we had COVID, guess who was just about to take office? Is that true? I don't think that's even true, is it? No. It was Trump was in office for like 3 years when COVID came around. Anyways, they're wrong. They said Trump was in office for COVID and he's about to be in office for bird flu. I don't know. It's just a bunch of hysterics on TikTok. People going like, I don't know, guys. Something about this year. Something is very reminiscent of 2019. Something, I think bird flu is a new cope. These people are clamoring to be in quarantine again. These people are clamoring for the world to be shut down again. Look, it's nice. It's a nice break, but we got to live. If you're looking forward to the world shutting down because of a new pandemic, you got to find a hobby. I mean, if you're looking forward to not having anything to do in life and to be shut in and to, not have an ability to make money, and all you're going to do is play Animal Crossing at home and hope for a new Tiger King spinoff and make some sourdough bread and, you know, live like this is how life is supposed to be. I mean, I get it, but like, we can't be looking forward to that. I'm saying that because I'm a comedian who travels around for a living and does shows. So please, dear God, don't let another pandemic come. And I just don't want that life again. It was fun for like a week, but it's kind of like if you were a kid who got sick and you got to miss some school and then the doctor was like, so it turns out it's cancer. And then you're like, oh no. And they're like, yeah, you're going to miss all of school. In fact, you're going to miss life. You've got 3 months left. That's what COVID felt like. It was fun for a minute and then it was, you know, tragic. Liam Payne died. All right, that's it. Kendrick and Drake beef. I mean, a lot of people died, but I just wrote Liam Payne because he was the only one I remembered. I mean, you know, people die. Jimmy Carter, though, that was unexpected. Oh my God, came out of nowhere. Jimmy Carter? Dude, he was only 100 years old. He was only in hospice for the last 2 years of his life. I mean, this came out of nowhere. Liam Payne makes sense. Jimmy Carter? There is no God. Kendrick and Drake beef, that was my favorite thing that happened this year. The takedown of a pedophile is always fun to watch. You know, I was cheering on the state prosecutor when Jared from Subway went down. You know? Who else was I cheering on? I just like when pedophiles go down. You know, that's why I really like To Catch a Predator. It's a fun show, just watching pedophiles go down, left and right. I'm team Kendrick. Always have been. We've talked about it. I think Kendrick is massively talented and he's just so cool. He's just so cool. He's so good at what he does. I can't wait for the Super Bowl with him. We'll talk about that when that happens. That's going to be a good one. Oh, you know what? Let's talk about this. Beyonce did her little Christmas Day, mini Super Bowl performance. It was just for a shitty game. I mean, I think it was Houston and I don't even remember what the game was. I know Houston was getting their ass beat, but it was in Houston. It was for Netflix. Didn't buffer, so that was good on Netflix. People wanted me to comment on TikTok about this performance, about Beyonce. So if you are completely living under a rock or racist, let me tell you what happened. Beyonce performed at the halftime show for a Christmas Day football game between the Houston Texans and somebody who beat the Houston Texans ass. I don't really remember. I didn't watch that game. But I watched her performance. And she did a lot of songs from Cowboy Carter, her genre-bending album. It's just her country album, basically. I will never not watch a Beyonce performance. I think that Beyonce is the best performer we have living today. The absolute best powerhouse performer. I don't know. I'm not 100% certain that she's not lip syncing. I can't tell. But let me tell you something. Her homecoming special that she did for Bachella, you need to watch that. Homecoming, Beyonce's homecoming is the best live performance and concert you will ever see. I don't care if Eras, whatever the Taylor Swift is doing for 3 hours on stage, her ability, her stamina, her, perseverance, I guess, on stage. She do that for 3 hours every night for almost 2 years. Props to Taylor Swift, but she is nowhere near Beyonce when it comes to being a performer. Beyonce is a powerhouse performer. I fucking love watching Beyonce perform. She is so fucking, I hate to say fierce, because I know Sasha Fierce was her, what do they call it? Her, it's like Garth Brooks is Chris, her alter ego. Sasha Fierce, her alter ego. But bro, she's just insanely powerful and commanding and demanding of the audience, and you can't take your eyes off of her, and she is so fucking cool up there, and I enjoyed the fuck out of her halftime show. It's just, I remember watching her, and this is where you got to separate the art from the artist, right? And Beyonce is becoming somebody who, and she probably should have been somebody who I've separated the art from the artist for a while, but now it's really becoming evident to me that I've got to separate the performer on stage from the person behind the stage. Because even when I was enjoying the fuck out of her halftime show, even when there was Shaboozy there, who, get that guy away from Beyonce. I do not give a fuck about Shaboozy. Shaboozy is that guy that's like, someone pull me up a double shot of whiskey. It's bad music. Post Malone was there just like, I don't know, lurking around Beyonce. Get him the fuck away. That guy looks like he smells like, an ashtray. Beyonce is so enigmatic and amazing, but then what holds her back is, no matter what, I look at her and I think, yeah, but you're married, you married Jay-Z. Ew, he's holding you back, bitch. He is single-handedly holding you back. You thought you married this man so that you'd be like, I don't really think they love each other. I think it was a great business decision for a while. But now this man is being charged with raping a 13-year-old. So you gotta cut the ties, bitch. Because you are looking... It's really hard for me to appreciate Beyonce now when I remember that, like, oh, she condones what her husband does. And she always has. That's the thing. She always has. She probably knew what Jay-Z did to Aaliyah. She probably knew what Jay-Z, knew about with between R. Kelly and Aaliyah and R. Kelly and anybody and R. Kelly's and R. Kelly and some little girl's forehead and R. Kelly's pee in some girl's belly. You know, Jay-Z knew all these things, so Beyonce probably knew all these things. So she's always condoned Jay-Z's bullshit. It's just so hard for me to take somebody seriously who's like, I'm an independent, strong woman who's then married to Jay-Z. It's like, are you? I know she was probably groomed, sure. But now she's in her 40s. It's like, girl, cut the fucking cord. This guy's a fucking loser. Not to mention he looks like Joe Camel. No one thinks Jay-Z is cool anymore. He's borderline P. Diddy at this moment. He's not coming back from it. It's hard for me to think Beyonce is cool and amazing and independent and strong and everything she represents on stage when we know she goes home to Jay-Z. Like, it just doesn't, there's no correlation there. It's smoke and mirrors. The fog has been lifted. We see who you are and who you align yourself with. Your husband is being accused of raping a 13-year-old. And not once has he come out and been like, whoa, no, I didn't. I would never do that. All he's come out and been is like, this lawyer's intimidating me. Name the rapist's name. Name the 13-year-old. Who's the girl? I want her name. Why do you want her name, Jay-Z? I want to know who's smearing me and saying that I raped them as a 13-year-old. Who is it? You want to know her name so that you can go off her. You want to know who to kill. Let's be real. When I look at Jay-Z and Beyonce, it reminds me of that meme of like the classic SEC couple, where it's like this gorgeous blonde, probably vapid, not all there, not that intelligent, maybe intelligent woman, and then her dumpy motherfucking gross country boy boyfriend. Ew. He's got like the beer gut. He looks like a jar of mayonnaise. He's rocking a racist mustache. He's like pale. He's flubby. you know, and then he's got this gorgeous bombshell blonde girlfriend. You're like, what the fuck? That's Jay-Z and Beyonce. They are the SEC couple for hip hop. It's fucking weird. She can do so much better. She should be with Kendrick. I know Kendrick's married, but it's just, it doesn't make sense to me. The veil has been lifted, lady. It's hard for me to think that Beyonce's a strong, independent woman. She's not. She's tied to this rapist. Until there's a divorce and she distances herself from somebody that vile and that disgusting. We all knew that Jay-Z was always that vile and that disgusting. He's a billionaire. I think Beyonce's a billionaire. You don't get to be a billionaire without, you know, absolutely stepping on people's necks, taking advantage of people. Because being a millionaire is not enough. That's why Dolly Parton, she refuses to be a billionaire. She absolutely could be a billionaire, but she gives away just enough money to make sure that she stays in the top of multimillionaire status and never reaches billionaire status because people don't look at billionaires like real human beings. They look at them like fucking monsters. Dolly Parton's smart enough to know that. Because Dolly Parton still got that, well, geez, I'm just Dolly Parton. I'm just a good old girl playing my nails. She's a fucking billionaire. She could be a billionaire. But she's smart. She's smart. She says, I gotta appeal to the people who go to my Dollywood theme park. Get on the rickety ride. I'm one of y'all. How many times do you think Dolly Parton said the N-word? Today. At least 7, right? Dolly's smart. She's not showing you who she is. Nobody knows who she is. I don't even know if Dolly knows who Dolly is. I love Dolly Parton. No slander here. It's just, you know, the Dolly we're seeing in public eye is not probably the Dolly who wakes up every morning. Where's my help? I want the Hispanic one to come pour me my coffee. Okay. Let's get into the Jay-Z lawsuit. Because, I was going to go over some, I don't care. I was going to go over pop culture moments that InStyle.com came up with. But, girl, I really don't care. And we all lived it and we all survived it. And let's move on. Jay-Z's rape case will not be dismissed, a judge rules. I love this. A judge has denied a motion from Jay-Z's team to dismiss the civil lawsuit against him, claiming he raped a 13-year-old in 2000. The judge denied the motion as well as the motion to reveal the accuser's identity. She is currently anonymously known as Jane Doe. What a popular name. So she is a U.S. District Judge Annalisa Torres ruled that Doe is particularly vulnerable to the possible harms of disclosure. Yeah, no shit. I love that Jay-Z and his team were like, yeah, but what's her name? The lady who was 13 in 2000 and who's now... What? How old is she? 37 years old? What's math? Hold on. 24 plus 13 is 7. 37 years old? I'm really bad at math, guys. I have a Florida education. Please bear with me. Let's say she's almost 40. Yeah, Jay-Z's like, give us the name of that almost 40-year-old. We just want to talk. We just want to know who would come after sweet old Jay. Oh, sweet old Sean Carter. Come on. We don't want to hurt her. We don't want to give her pneumonia, quote unquote. You know, we just want to talk to her. The judge said, fuck no. Her identity is going to remain protected at this exceedingly early stage in the case. So that's nice. Let's see. Roc Nation has called the lawsuit a baloney lawsuit, a sham. You know, as you do. It says baloney. I love that Jay-Z's paying lawyers to say this is baloney. You couldn't get in. I mean, this reminds me of Arrested Development. Where in Henry Winkler's the lawyer. I forget his name, but he's like the worst lawyer in the world. Jay-Z's paying lawyers to show up to court and go, Your Honor, this is a bunch of hubba-baloo. All right, this is baloney and you know it. Now let's get ready to rock and roll on out of here. Let's dismiss this thing, huh?
Hackers don't need much. Just one leaked password can potentially unlock a treasure trove of personal information, leading to stress, pain, and permanently wrecked credit. Don't be an easy target. Get protection by Aura today. Aura protects your identity, finances, and family, all in one powerful app. Get real-time alerts, safeguard your accounts, and block scams before they happen. If identity theft strikes, we help you recover. Stay protected at aura.com/listen. That's aura.com/listen.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.
I got to look into this more. What I don't understand is, and maybe somebody out there who knows the law will know this, maybe it's because it's not a criminal suit, it's a civil suit, but I thought there were statute of limitations when it came to this stuff. This happened in 2000. It's 25 years ago now, almost 25 years ago. I guess, are there no statute of limitations? I'm all for it, by the way. I'm not trying to excuse this out of court. I'm just saying, like, I wonder why there's no statute of limitations for something that happened in 2000, a rape. Is it because it's a civil lawsuit? Beyond that, I don't know. Maybe there's, is it because they were a minor that there's no statute of limitations? Or I'm not really sure. I got to read into that one. I could ask my lawyer fiance, but she's busy with a real big person job. If I go to her and say, hypothetically, let's say a 13-year-old gets raped in 2000, she's going to go, what were you doing in 2000? You know, so it's a whole thing. Justin Baldoni, Blake Lively lawsuit. I wanted to talk about that because I need you. I posted about this on TikTok, so I'm sorry if you saw my TikTok. I'm going to be going over a lot of the same points. If you haven't seen my TikTok, then buckle the fuck up. I am at the point, and I have tried so much to give a fucking shit about this lawsuit between Justin Baldoni and Blake Lively. And I just cannot will myself to give a fuck. It's kind of like when those billionaires went down in the submarine and used a PS controller to control the vessel to go down to see the Titanic. I couldn't give a fuck about the well-being of those billionaires. I don't give a fuck about the outcome of this lawsuit. I don't care. It is the battle of douchebags. I do not care. Justin Baldoni versus Blake Lively. That's like a Jake Paul fight. I don't care. I hope nobody wins. I hope they both fucking lose. I mean, the lawsuit ends with them having to marry each other. They're both fucking douchebags. And it's, what's funny is this is all over one of the biggest piece of shit films I've never even seen. It ends with us, Colleen Hoover. It's like a scandal coming out of the Cats movie. James Corden and Rebel Wilson are at ends. They've filed respective lawsuits against each other. They've been hissing in the streets against each other, all from what occurred on the set of Cats. No one cares. That is a stupid movie to give a fuck about. Whatever happened on that film, burn it, move on. Yeah, there was a big beef during the filming of all of those Beethoven movies. Beethoven the dog was sexually harassing everybody in sight. I can't be bothered. Put the dog down. I don't know what to tell you. Put Justin Baldoni and Blake Lively both down. I think that's the only way to settle this. I mean, they are both insufferable human beings. I don't know why they haven't fallen in love already. Why have they not fallen in love? And maybe this is what it's about. They're both secretly in love with each other. Justin Baldoni is a douchebag director. He is a man who has at points in his life worn a man bun. I'm telling you right now, a man bun. If a man is wearing a man bun, that's a red flag. That means he is a performative feminist. It means he's probably done some really shady things to women. It's all an act. Russell Brand loved a man bun, okay? If you meet a man with a man bun, run, hun. I'm going to put that on a shirt. Man bun, run, hun. Beyond that, he released his proposal to his girlfriend at the time. It was so narcissistic. His proposal was basically he sat down his girlfriend, and he played an hour-long video he made of himself, like being funny. You know, when men think they're funny, when anybody thinks they're funny, they're not. I barely think I'm funny. You know, every day I release content thinking everyone's going to hate this. You know, this guy released an hour-long video of himself doing cute and stupid things before proposing to his girlfriend. So she had to watch an hour-long movie of him before he said, by the way, will you marry me? He's such a douchebag. Now, on the other end, Blake Lively, I don't know if you know really about the Blake Lively lore here. Okay, we know that she's married to Ryan Reynolds. Already a red flag. A Ryan Reynolds red flag. He is a tryhard. He thinks he's incredibly funny. He's not. I've heard that he has no personality. I've heard that anytime he's writing those quippy little captions on Instagram, it's somebody writing them for him. He's not funny. He's not that great. He thinks he's the funniest guy in the room. He's probably the sixth or seventh funniest person in the room. Beyond that, they got married on a cotton plantation. Blake Lively and Ryan Reynolds got married on a cotton plantation willingly. They scoped it out. They got the history of the place and they said, sign us up. You know, any public couple is going to look into the place they're getting married. And, you know, PR is going to step in. But hey, if Blake and Ryan say we want to get married here, they're going to get married there. Any millionaire, you're millionaires. You can get married anywhere. You chose a cotton plantation. You must really love fabric, huh? Must love it. Blake had a short-lived lifestyle website called Preserve. Preserve. Okay, it was supposed to be like Gwyneth Paltrow's Goop, which is already a funny fuck. Gwyneth Paltrow is fucking hilarious. I'm sorry. She named her lifestyle brand Goop, and it's thriving. She's a brilliant genius weirdo. I love her. You know, it's just so funny that she can be successful with a fucking brand name called Goop. But Blake Lively started one called Preserve. It's not about jam. It's about, you know, let's say the Confederate South. Let's say it's not about preserving jelly. It's about preserving white ideology. Okay, so her online lifestyle is called Preserve. Basically, the term Southern, so she wrote an article about Preserve, and it kind of just failed spectacularly. It's seeped in pro-slavery propaganda. She loves it. It's the allure. I think the article she wrote for Preserve on her Preserve website was called The Allure of Antebellum. Huh? The term Southern Belle came to fruition. This is from the article that she wrote for Preserve, or they wrote for Preserve. The term Southern Belle came to fruition during the antebellum period, acknowledging women with an inherent social distinction who set the standards for style and appearance. These women epitomized Southern hospitality with a cultivation of beauty and grace, but even more with a captivating and magnetic sensibility. Yeah, they were so stylish as they were telling those slaves what to do. They were so fucking stylish. Those fashion fuckingistas. Oh my God. They would put Paula Deen to shame. She refers to white women of the time and is ignoring many of these beacons of beauty and grace with magnetic sensibilities. We're slave owners. Right. She points out the fashion sense of the time and place and explaining where design aesthetic comes from, which is perfectly fine. Assigning persona and romanticizing slave owners strays into a sphere of ignorance and casual racism. It is so weird to talk about the women of the antebellum era as beauty and grace. Girl, what? You know that they were using, they were making their brushes out of slave hair. I don't know. They were doing some shit, girl. You know, letting their husband, God, I don't even want to know. It's just very, it's very creepy. It's the Preserve. It's the, you know, it's very coded in the South will rise again. The Confederacy, you know, it's very weird. And that should never be run by anyone, especially a privileged white woman. It's just douchey. It's all douchey. I don't really give a fuck. I don't really give a fuck about Justin Baldoni or Blake Lively. I hope they both lose and are forced to marry each other. That's what I want the judge to say. I truly want them to, the judges come back and be like, Justin Baldoni, you are sentenced to a life with Blake Lively. Blake Lively, you must accept Justin Baldoni's 1-hour movie film proposal. All right, settled. Let's get into our sponsor here. We love Lucy Brown so much. Wow, we're flying through this episode. We almost have 40 minutes. Lucy Brown, you know him, you love him. Shout out to Lucy Brown for letting us do the meet and greet Saturday. Last Saturday was so fun. Thank you for anybody that came out to the meet and greet. Loved meeting you guys, mostly women, all women, one husband. Love meeting you ladies. So much fun. And we love Lexington. And I love Lucy Brown, the best coffee shop in Lexington, Kentucky, and the country. Those are fighting words. Get their coffee subscription. It's fucking fantastic. I know I say it every week, but, you know, there's only so many ways I can tell you this until you're just being thick-headed and not doing it. It's a good deal. You get good coffee. You know, if you're sick of going to the store to get these stupid bags of coffee beans every week, go just get the coffee subscription. They ship right to your door. You don't even have to go and worry about it. Every month you get a fresh new bag from a new roaster in the preference you like, light, dark, medium, whatever you like. That's why I love the Lucy Brown coffee subscription. It comes right to my door. I don't have to worry about it. Every month I have all the coffee I need and I don't have to worry about it. And it's very, very affordable, very cheap. All you got to do is simply fill out the form on their website and get coffee beans now sent straight to your door, starting at just $20 a month. Visit lucybrowncoffee.com. That's L-U-S-S-I, browncoffee.com. And follow the coffee subscription button to get signed up today. Plus, if you use the code Heather Shaw is kidding, you'll get 10% off your first order. Get the coffee subscription. Set yourself up for this year. Take one less thing that you have to do every fucking day or week or month. Don't worry about the coffee. Let the coffee come to you. Lucy Brown Coffee, we love you so much. Thanks for sponsoring this podcast. Boy, oh boy, Angelina Jolie and Brad Pitt's divorce is finalized 6 years later. Do you know it took them 6 years to finalize this shit? That's crazy. Now listen, you may not know about this about me, but I am an Angelina Jolie freak head lover. There is nothing you can say that will ever make me hate Angelina Jolie or be on the side of anybody else. I love Angelina Jolie. I think she is the best person ever to exist ever. And yes, she may love adopting kids from every country in this world, but that's okay. She's adopting them. Her films are fantastic. Watch Gia if you haven't watched Gia. I want to rewatch Gia. Gia was an amazing biopic. I don't say biopic. I'm not, you know, it's biopic. Gia was amazing. Girl Interrupted. You know, these are the films that I watched in my adolescence. And it was all Angelina Jolie heavy. She was in the best shit. Girl Interrupted. Gia. I even liked Beyond Borders, which she was kind of about refugees and refugee work. I enjoyed Mr. and Mrs. Smith. I even enjoyed Hackers. Gone in 60 Seconds was all right. I know I'm missing a lot of Angelina Jolie movies, but I think the top two for me are Gia and Girl Interrupted. Absolutely. And I have yet to see Maria, to be honest. I think that's what it's called. But I'm happy that this divorce finalized. It seems like Brad Pitt was... Here's my read on Brad Pitt. Brad Pitt, and this is known, you can look at this. Brad Pitt's a chameleon because he's an actor. Most actors don't know who they are. They don't have a personality. Angelina Jolie has kind of found herself, it seems, with her refugee work and adopting children and kind of doing that. But Brad Pitt is kind of a chameleon. Whoever he dates, he becomes. So I think what happened here is they fell in love on the set of Mr. and Mrs. Smith, and he became a counterpart to Angelina Jolie, wanting to adopt kids and helping out and doing whatever she enjoys to do because he's a chameleon. I mean, when he dated Gwyneth Paltrow, he looked like Gwyneth Paltrow. When he dated Juliet Lewis, he looked like Juliet Lewis. When he dated Jennifer Aniston, they looked like siblings. They still look like siblings. I think that was him and Jennifer Aniston made the most sense. They seem like they both didn't want kids. They both like kind of just drinking and smoking and hanging out with Chelsea Handler. Like, that's more his vibe. But he's a chameleon, and he got in deep with Angelina Jolie and what she actually enjoys doing, not just pretending that she enjoys doing this stuff. You know, refugee work and humanitarian aid work and being a mother. And so, you know, they were together, what, 12 years and had 6 children, adopted and biologically. And he just was a chameleon. And he just molded himself into this life. But he wasn't about that life. He wasn't about fatherhood. He was abusing those kids. He was hitting those kids. He was a shitty father. It's made evidence by what Maddox has posted on, I think it was Maddox or Pax, anything with an X in the end, posted on Father's Day about how he's a giant asshole. They don't like him. They don't have a relationship with him. He's just not a good father. He probably was not built for fatherhood. He should have stayed with Jennifer Aniston. They would have been a cool, child-free, smoking pot, fucking swinging with Chelsea Handler, skiing, doing blow, whatever. But instead, he decided to become a chameleon and be with Angelina. And that backfired because it's not who he is, so it didn't work out in the end. And he's kind of an asshole, and now he's got to, you know, do this whole PR. I don't know. He's got to have this resurgence because he's kind of now been painted as this horrible guy. A lot of things that he's done has kind of just been swept under the rug. But, you know, I think that people don't give a shit really about Brad Pitt anymore in good and bad ways. Like, they don't really give a shit about how he was abusive to these kids. They also don't really give a shit about any of his new films that he puts out. So it goes hand in hand. But, you know, he's a phony. He's an actor. Angelina Jolie is also an actress, but she has more depth than that. She actually cares about, you know, she has a book that I've actually read. I wonder if it's on this. Yeah, here it is. Here, if you're on YouTube, you can see this book. I recommend this book. It's called Angelina Jolie. It's called Notes from My Travels. And basically, it's kind of a journalistic approach, if not just a journalistic, it just is a journal of her time working with the UNHR, UNHCR, United Nations High Commissioner for Refugees. So it's just a journal about, I mean, she writes it as a journal. It is her actual journal entries about her traveling to Islamabad and Battambang and where else do we have here? Sierra Leone, Cambodia, Pakistan. And this is about 2002, 2003, in between those times. So this is early on in her refugee work, but it is very fascinating stuff. It's very cool from her perspective to talk about the missions that she did, her mission to Ecuador. It's very good stuff. I highly recommend it. I don't know if many people know that she made this book. I mean, this book is probably, when was this made? This book was probably published 2003. This book was published. I remember getting this in high school and reading it because I was a pretentious insufferable asshole. There it is, right on top of my Girl Interrupted book. Another great book. But I would definitely recommend reading it if you care about her kind of experiences with that kind of travel. But yeah, I'm glad she's free. I hope we never find out who Angelina Jolie is dating. I hope she is, I don't know, I hope she just has the best, she finds the best partner behind closed doors and nobody knows about it and she just lives a peaceful life because that's what she deserves. I love her so much. I just love Angelina Jolie. I want nothing but the best. And you know what? I loved her and Billy Bob. The only time I was like, Angie, is when she was making out with her brother at the Oscars. But, you know, childhood trauma. It rears its ugly head. Sometimes you're making out. Sometimes you're sticking your tongue down your brother's throat on the red carpet at the Oscars. Sue her. When I get famous enough, I'm going to eat my brother's asshole. Okay. Too far. He's going to block me. Last thing to talk about, there's a couple more things I want to talk about. Alabama Barker. I don't really care about her. Alabama Barker is, I really hate talking shit about a child, but I think she's like 20 years old. She's Travis Barker's daughter, Shannon Moakley and Travis Barker. I remember when they had that reality show on MTV. She was probably not even born. Shannon Moakley. She's Travis Barker's daughter. She was born a rich kid. She thinks she's black. I love when rich kids think they're black, especially when they're so white. Alabama Barker, she's named like a country star. She's named like she could be either a country singer or a stripper. And yet she thinks she's Nicki Minaj. She's very black in her head. I don't know what you think you're getting away with when you name your kid Alabama. I don't know what you want for your kid when you name them Alabama. I would think of fentanyl addiction, but she's 19 years old. She's pursuing a rap career because she's black, guys. She's so black. She's pursuing a rap career. I think she was fucking around and was fucking bad babies. Her boyfriend, husband. I couldn't get into it because that's how little I care. I don't care. I don't care about rich women who think they're black fighting over a black guy. I don't care. Good luck to both of you ladies. Why don't you just hook up with each other? You know, I don't have time. Anyways, Alabama Barker went to the hospital because she quit vaping and it led to her feeling panicked one day while all alone. She was rushed to the hospital for nicotine withdrawal. Ma'am, you are not tough. You are not hard. Okay. You can't even go through nicotine withdrawal. Nicotine withdrawal is like, oh, I'm on edge. I'm so annoyed. It's not like the most dangerous withdrawal is alcohol. You can have delirium tremors. You can really die. You can actually die if you don't withdraw yourself the right way, the correct way, if you are seriously addicted to alcohol. But it's not even like heroin. Like a nicotine withdrawal is like you're annoyed. You're annoyed like you would be if you were hungry. You know when you get hungry and you start getting hangry? That's like nicotine withdrawal. And it's like 3 days to a week to maybe 2 weeks, depending on how serious the nicotine is. Like, girl, you did not need to go to the hospital. That is how fucking soft she is. Back in my day, we were doing, what's that thing called? Salvia. Was it salvia? Is that what they called it? Dude, we were doing salvia. And losing our fucking minds. When I was her age, I was doing salvia in my friend's backyard in Florida. Losing my mind. And it was short-lived. And we lost our mind for about a minute or two. And then we came to and we went on with our day. We went on with our fucking day. We listened to some Death Cab Cutie and we got the fuck on with it. You can't take some nicotine withdrawal? This makes me think this is a fake story. This makes me think she went to the hospital for something else. Because what do you mean you went to the hospital for nicotine withdrawal? You just feel like a bitch. You feel worse going through PMS than you do nicotine withdrawal. You know what I mean? This makes me think there was something else funky going on that brought her to the hospital. But I digress. I don't care. She looks like a fucking... She's a child. I can't make fun of her too much. But she's also a Nepo baby. Who thinks she's... It's just the funniest when a Nepo baby who's been born with a silver spoon in their mouth is like, yeah, but I'm black. And it's like, you really want to be black? Because we can get you pulled over by a cop real quick and you can see what it's like to be black. You know? You can walk through an all-white grocery store. Why don't you go visit a sundown town? You want to know what it's like to really be black? You don't, do you? You want to stay in your Hollywood mansion. And you want to be the cool part of black, which is like, yeah... You want to rip off all the cool parts of being black. Like, if I was her parents, I would just be like, you are the biggest douche I've ever raised, and I'm Travis Barker. You are the biggest douche I've ever seen, and I married your father. You know, you are the biggest piece of douche that I know, and I married into the Kardashian family. So this is not good. At least they can pretend to be black because they're Armenian. You are white. Sit the fuck down. You're Irish. I have no patience for that. Last thing I wanted to talk about, I saw Night Bitch last night. Night Bitch is a movie featuring Amy Adams. I love Amy Adams ever since she was in The Office as the purse girl. I've loved her. I love Amy Adams. She's in Doubt, one of my favorite Philip Seymour Hoffman movies. I'm going to watch that again soon. Meryl Streep. Philip Seymour Hoffman, Amy Adams, Viola Davis. Get the fuck out of here. One of the best films. I love Amy Adams. Night Bitch was very well done. It's a film adaptation of a book. I did not know the book. I think it would make a lot more sense if I did. It's about a mother struggling with motherhood. She's got like an infant. And I guess there's just thematic. The whole theme is that she's like, turning into a dog in her mind. You know, I don't relate to it because I'm not a mother. The movie, I will say, if you are thinking about having kids, watch Night Bitch. And then you'll get to see what it's like to be around a toddler. And I mean, it was the best PSA for birth control I've ever seen in my life. It's a movie that's supposed to speak to mothers and motherhood. And I'm not in that. So I'm on the other side going, holy fuck, I never want a kid. I mean, the kid was really cute too. The kid's not a terror in the film. He's just a kid. He's a toddler. Very cute kid. But like, dude, the things you have to do as a parent around somebody who obviously can't take care of themselves. Obviously, they're like, one, he's like 2 o'clock. I think he's 2 years. I almost said 2 o'clock. He's 2 years old in the film, I want to say. I could be very wrong. But he's like, he like walks a little and talks a little. I don't know. I could never have kids. I wanted to free her. But the movie comes around and makes mothers seem powerful. And they are. They're very powerful. Giving birth and creating life. It's an ode to motherhood in a fun way. The soundtrack is absolutely unbelievable. I love the soundtrack. Within the first 5 minutes of the film, they were playing an Ani DiFranco song, and I was like, love it. I don't even care what happens in this movie. I love this movie. You never hear Ani DiFranco music in films. I was like, this is the shit. This woman, whoever directed this film, is a real goddamn woman. She had the Cocteau Twins, however you say that. She had Joanna Newsom, which I love Joanna Newsom, and I never get to listen to Joanna Newsom because she's not on Spotify. I love Joanna Newsom's music. So fucking weird. But I never listen to it because it's on Spotify. The Yeah Yeah Yeahs. I mean, there were so... The soundtrack is unbelievable. So I was sold right there. Great story. It was a good... It was fun. It wasn't too hokey. I enjoyed it. I really did. I like the name Night Bitch. I think it's fun. And I'll just always love Amy Adams. So I would say go check it out, especially if you're a mother or a parent, or you want to become a mother, or you're just a woman in general who understands motherhood in some way. For me, it was a big like confirmation that I do not want kids. Just the things that she has to go through. And they're just normal things. They're just taking care of kids. It wasn't like anything insane. It was just like, oh my God, this is hell. God, no. But shout out to mothers everywhere. You wouldn't be here without one. All right, that is the episode this week. I think we went pretty, about an hour. Not bad. Reminder of shows, Tampa. I'm at Side Splitters next Wednesday. Orlando, I'm at the Funny Bone next Sunday. Spokane, Washington. Seattle, Washington. Springfield, Massachusetts. Syracuse, New York, Rochester, New York. I'm all in you in January. Go to heathershawcomedy.com for these tickets. In February, I'm in Chattanooga, Provo, Janesville, Dayton, Fort Worth, Houston. In March, I'm in Dallas, Tyler. And then later out in the year, I'm in Phoenix, Los Angeles, Westchester, Pennsylvania, Royal Oak, Michigan. I'm coming to you. All tickets all the time at heathershawcomedy.com. And I'll be adding Louisville soon, as well as Long Island. I love you, Long Island. Join the Patreon if you'd like extra episodes of this podcast every single week. You've got so much to catch up on. If you join the Patreon, you've got, I think I want to say 51 extra episodes, right? Because it's been a year. So it's been a year of this podcast. So it'll be 52 this Sunday. You have 51 extra episodes to catch up on. My God. And they aren't topical. This is more personal things going on in my life. And we have my pseudo cousin on and I talk about other things going on. Again, maybe I cry. Patreon.com/HeatherShawComedy. And that's starting as low as $3 a month, by the way. Every tier gets you the same access, but you can choose to how much you want to support me each month, starting with $3 and going up to $20. So it's really up to you, but every tier gives you the same access. It's basically just an extra episode of the month, of the podcast every week. And then a fun group chat that we're all in. And it's just a great community over there. Don't forget to rate and review this, podcast. Please leave a review or just rate me. I don't fucking care. I really don't care. You do you. If you're listening, that's all I need. It's refreshing to hear what people think of the podcast. When I see people in person, they give me good feedback. So you don't need to rate and review. It's just, sometimes I'd like to know what you guys are thinking out there. All right. I hope you have a fantastic start to the new year. If you are hungover, it only gets better. If you're not hungover, good job, Queen. Slay. Until next time, stay gay. See ya.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.